I would like to start, dear brethren and friends, by reading a verse of John 15 and verse 13. No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. The word love comes very easily over the lips of a man. It is very easily said, sadly more said than practiced. I'm sure, dear brethren, and I don't say it to judge, that man is not able to love. Real love cannot be found by man, by sinful man. There is no doubt about it. Love that is explained in Scripture, that is shown by the Lord Jesus, cannot be found by sinful men. We have to be clear about that. So this verse is wonderful, marvelous, amazing, because it points straightly away through all men, put men aside, and points to that only sinful man that it has ever been down here on earth. The man Jesus Christ, God's Son, God's only begotten Son, he was able to show real love. He was able to reveal God's heart, God's character, God's whole attributes are found in that person because he laid down his life. There is no greater love. No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. It is so easy to say something about love according to what persons did. We have many idols and models in this modern world. Persons that are raised up to something special, but I'm quite sure we will not find real love. We know, I think everyone knows, that we are very often disappointed. Disappointed by persons, disappointed because of family life, disappointed because of what happens when people act, and even if it is not meant to do in a bad way, but we are often disappointed. And this is a sign, this should remember us every time to think about our Lord Jesus, how he mentioned and how he lived and showed real love. We can say it in Paul's words, how he describes it in Ephesians, that Christ loved the assembly and has delivered himself up for her, for it. Wonderful to see him, how he gave up his life, how he didn't hold anything back. He said, I lay down my life. This is why the Father loveth me, because I lay down my life for my own. How precious. It was in his mind all the time to lay down his life, to lay down his life. Well, you might ask, why should he have to lay down his life for me? Why even he had to lay down his life? And I can refer to Romans chapter 3. Dear friends, Romans chapter 3 speaks of the unjust man, speaks of there is no one maybe I can read it. It's easier for me to quote it. For example, verse 10, there is not a righteous man, not even one. There is not the man that understands. There is not one that seeks after God. The whole chapter speaks about that man and describes him. And it makes me really sad when I think about God. that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And yet there are so many persons who don't accept him, who try to express love in different ways, love in a way that isn't according to God's thoughts, to God's being, to God's character. It's really, really, really sad. And I remember I heard a preacher who spoke to students, a group of students, and he said to them, well, I tell you the most terrifying truth of Scripture. I tell you the most terrifying truth of God. And he said that because he wanted them to listen, because he knew it was not easy to speak about these, to speak in front of these students about God. And they were excited to hear what he's going to say, what he is going to present as the most terrifying truth of Scripture. And he said the most terrifying truth of Scripture is that God is just, that God is good. And they looked at him and asked, well, if God is good, why is that terrifying? And he said, because we are not. This is what we find in Romans chapter 3. God is good. God is good. So Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, for each one of us, for you and for me, so that we might be saved. We might be saved. What love, what great love from God to give his only son for each one of us, that there might be a way for us to turn to God. Imagine that it is not possible to turn to God without the love of Christ. It is not possible, because God cannot accept unrighteousness in his presence. He cannot accept sinful man in his presence. How wonderful that he is just and good. It is, I hope that everyone can say, it is wonderful that God is just. Even if it's really terrifying to see that in according to man's condition. To see the Lord in his great love, it might be good to see a verse in the Song of Songs. Song of Songs, this page 837. Song of Songs, chapter 7. Sorry, chapter 8. Song of Songs, chapter 8, and verse 7. It says, there many waters cannot quench love, neither do the floods drown it. How great is God's love? How great is Christ's love that he couldn't stop going to the cross? He had to finish this act of love. Wonderful that we are confronted with such a great love, the great love of our dear Savior. Psalm 69 is maybe able to refer to this verse in Song of Songs. And we might get an impression of the Lord's feeling, which is always very precious, I think. Psalm 69. It says there, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into the depths of waters, and the flood overfloweth me. What did he do for us, beloved? Dear friends, what did he do for every one of us? He's so great. I'm sure he was thinking of all of those that were come into the grace of his work when he was at the cross. He was thinking how he could please the Father with all these that come to the cross and believe in Him and accept Him as Savior. It is wonderful to see Him. Nothing could stop Him. Nothing. Think of how the Pharisees and all the persons of the people of Israel, how they treated Him in the last hours of His life. How they treated Him, what they said to Him. They hit Him, they spit on Him. What they did to Him, and He didn't stop. He was about to go on that tree. What greater love could be shown in the history of men, that He went to that cross and was crucified by the hands of men. Psalm 69 may show us what He was about to suffer because He was separated from His God and Father. We often think what He had to bear because of hands of men. But I'm quite sure what He suffered because He was separated, divided from His Father, from His God and Father, we cannot go into it. We don't know what that meant. Think of how much is described in the Gospels of what he suffered on the hands of men, and how short the passage where he was under the punishment of God. That's something we cannot discover, and I'm quite sure the Spirit hides it in a way, because this is something between Him and God. How deep is His love? How deep is His love? What he had to went through when He hung on that cross, when He gave up the Spirit, when He said, "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they are doing." How great was His love. I want us all to commit to the Lord. I want us all to go to the cross, to see Him at the cross, to see Him shedding His blood and boring our sins. I want us all to see His great love. Us all. It is so easy to go over it. You see, I know that for myself. Sometimes we are touched. Our hearts are really affected when we are in the meeting and we sit there, and it is like God opened something for us so that we really, really can see His love and His glory and His work. We really feel His presence. It's like we tasted something of His glory. And we sit there and think, well, God is so great. I have to give Him my whole life. I have to do. How can I go on doing things in the world? How can I go on planning my own life? How can I go on in all these circumstances that surround me? And when we are out of the meeting room, back home again, everything is gone. That happens so often. So often. And I often ask myself, why does that happen? Why cannot these wonderful impressions stay forever in the heart? Why is it that way, dear brethren? And I think we have to find a way to respond to that love. We have to find a way to love God, because He first loved us. Like John wrote it in his epistle, in his letter, we love God because He first loved us. How wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It is the epistle where we read these wonderful verses about God as being love, and that the giving of the Son is an act of love. The whole epistle, especially the chapter 4, I think, is it, speaks of that. And in the same chapter, John says, we love because He has first loved us. I think that is something that can strengthens our hearts, that can help impressions to dwell in our hearts, not touch the heart and go away very quickly, but to dwell in our hearts, to strengthen our relationship with Him. I want to go to a verse that is well known, a verse in Judges, even if one might not read very often in Judges, but there is a verse that is really well known. It is chapter 5. Judges chapter 5, verse 31. So let all thine enemies perish, Jehovah, but let them that love him be as the rising of the sun in its might. What a blessing for souls that love God. What a blessing for those. God cannot overlook that. If you love God, He cannot go over it. He cannot turn around, go the other way and leave you alone. It is not possible. Where there is an answer, where there is a response to His great love, where there is a heart that truly loves Him, God is willing and God must come to that person and let that person be strengthened, powerful. Think of what it must mean for a person to be like the rising of the sun in its might. What shines out of this person? What is seen in this person? How wonderful God is and how He gives us promises in His word. Precious to see God working. We have two verses in the New Testament that I found that also help us to understand how precious it is to love God. Let us first go to 1 Corinthians. I start to read in verse 9. But according as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear not heard, and which have not come into man's heart, which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depth of God. This might explain us a little bit more what it means to love God and what He is willing to give us when He sees us responding to His great love. Please don't understand me wrong. I started to proclaim the gospel in the way that God loves us. And the Lord loves us because we are not able to love God before, as long as we haven't come to the cross. We need to come to the cross and get to know the Lord as Savior before we are able to love God. That's definitely, definitely true. In the last verse in Romans chapter 8, chapter 8, verse 28. But we do know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose. The gift of the Spirit, dear brethren, is found by those who love God. There is the Spirit to reveal and to make everything clear that hinders because of the flesh. There is the Spirit in those that love God. And what else do we need? What else do a soul need than the Word of God, that all things work together for good for those who love God? This is ridiculous. This is amazing how God wants to draw us to Him, wants to reveal what is in His heart. What no one has seen before, what no one has heard before, is revealed by the Spirit to those who love the Lord, to those who can say, I love because He first loved me. A wonderful God of love, a wonderful God who is willing to save each one of us, each soul that has ever been on this earth. God wants to save. How wonderful, how great He is. Let us go to Him, go to the cross, find Christ as the Savior of God's heart, the one that came down to earth to show and to proclaim God's love that He has for man. Not that only that He has for man, but God as the one that is love. Wonderful subject, wonderful thoughts to be shared, and I hope that these verses and the knowledge of the loving God brings us all closer to Christ. And even if someone is here who is not yet saved, I don't know that. I come to a locality of believers, and the work of Christ is seen here in a very, very great way. I can say that. I can testify that. But I don't know every heart. I don't know what is going on in the heart of each one of us. So even if someone is here that is not yet saved, commit your hearts to the Savior. Amen. Come to the cross. How often have you heard the gospel? You have heard it over and over and over again. Sunday by Sunday by Sunday by Sunday. How long will you wait to open your heart for the Savior, for a loving God, where there is no disappointment in Him? Because He is love, there is no disappointment. He loves you, and He wants to save you in the Christ. Please repent. I beg you, please, please repent. Don't let another day pass by. Maybe He comes tomorrow. Maybe He comes very soon. We don't know times. We don't know when He will come back to get His assembly. We don't know. So please, repent. Come to the cross. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. Everything else that is around us doesn't matter. It will cast away. It will be left behind a certain day. It will not stand strong in the fire. Will be put aside. The Lord will be there forever. He will be there in eternity with those who loved Him, who believed in Him. So please, come to the Savior. I pray that no one is here who is outside of Christ. Let us all be inside of Christ, in Him, in His love, in His word, for His name's sake. Amen.